All right. Well, thank you for coming. It's a good crowd for a really nice day outside. Excited to have you guys here. Matt Laird is going to be talking here in just a couple minutes. If you are wanting to come to the event, Matt's going to be there along with Darren Streblo, who's a comedian. It's going to be a great time, really fun. And you can still register for that. You could register at the back table today yet. And if you know of people that want to register yet, they can show up at the door and do so. We're going to have a pretty big crowd, though, so come early. next month, we have Keith Ubley from CRM Ministries coming. So that's always the third Friday of the month. So that should be a good time. Again, later today, we got the event that starts at 7 o'clock, goes till about 9 o'clock. And there's still a nomination process. Every November, we nominate someone for a Christian Leadership Service Award. And so if you have anyone that you would like to nominate for that event, you can do so at the back table today. If you're thinking, man, these people just need some recognition, it's a great thing to do. If you want to be on the mailing list, we've had a few people fall off the mailing list, or if you're not getting on there, if you change your email address, whatever, you can put your email address. It's on the back table. There's a sign-up sheet for that. And also check your spam folders. I had a guy contact me today and say, I never get these anymore. Well, it was in one of his email folders. So if you are looking to hear other events and you miss some, almost all of our events go on our website, and you can pull them right off the website, listen to them, download them. It works on your phone and whatnot. So I'm excited today to have Matt with us. Got a chance to meet up with him this morning with a couple other guys and just got to hear his heart. He's got a passion for people, passion for families, and he's just a really good guy. That's what he said to tell you. So with that, I give you Matt.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much. I'm humbled. A couple special thank yous to the Unity Foundation for letting us come here. Thank you so much. Kayleen, how many of you know Kayleen? Yeah, wow, what a lady she is, huh? Yeah, thank her for all her hard work. Appreciate you. So, hey, listen, I'm from Iowa. Anybody here from Iowa? Raise your hand. Any Iowans? No, a couple? All right, it's all right. We're neighbors. We're friends. And so, again, my name's Matt Laird, married to Pam, a beautiful woman, a smart woman, a strong-willed woman, right? Any guys here marry a strong-willed woman? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. We love you. We love you. And I was an engineer for almost 20 years, and I have an identical twin brother. And any engineers in the room, raise your hand. There's a few. How many of you know that engineers are the life of the party? Did you guys know that? We're wild and crazy. And I sort of fell into ministry, and my heart was drawn towards it. And I quit my job and sold everything. And my wife and I 100% just dove into marriage ministry. And to be even more specific, we developed a marriage mentoring technique. It is a very strong method of helping couples who need help. And so that took off about 10 years ago, and we've trained 7,000 or 8,000 people all over the world. And how many of you heard of Love and Respect? Emerson Eggerich, yeah. So we partnered with Emerson about 2 or 3 years ago, and he and I are married our two ministries together. And if you know him, you love him. And so that's the history. That's sort of our background. What I want to do this morning is I want to kind of bring to you this little message called the power of one, the power of oneness, and bringing oneness into work and at home. And to do that, I got a couple thoughts here. This is a famous quote from Vince Lombardi, and he says, build for your team a feeling of oneness, a dependence on one another, and I like this, and of strength derived by unity. Strength derived by unity. As I unload this to you this morning, I want you to be thinking about your life, your marriage. I want you to be thinking about your friends, your workplace. And I want to connect these dots in a big way, that there's power in oneness with those that you've chosen to be around in your life. There's power there in unity. And as a matter of fact, as I dove into this years ago, obviously, Vince Lombardi's not the one that coined this. He's not the first person to ever talk about unity. Jesus himself has quite a few things to say about it. As a matter of fact, if you know, in John 17, Jesus does something here that I think is profound. It's his final prayer. It's what I call the creed of all prayers. He's with his disciples. It's the final prayer that he has for them before he's about to meet his crucifixion. And I would think if I were there, one of the disciples, one of the most important prayers that Jesus would ever sort of give to me, for me, would be his last one. His last prayer for me is probably the mother of all prayers. And what I'm fascinated about in this passage is that for three or four times, his prayer for the disciples is something that I would have never dreamed of. I mean, if I would have said, Jesus, before you go, I want something from you, impart something. I would have asked for all kinds of things. His power of healing, or the power of making the lame walk again. But Jesus does something that took me by surprise. He says this, I would pray that you become one as I am one with the Father. He prayed for unity amongst the disciples. And he goes on further and he says, I'm praying for all future believers in me. I'm praying for everyone that's going to believe in me, that they too would become one. Twice he prayed for the same thing, this oneness. And then he answers this million-dollar question as to why. Why, Jesus? Why did you pick this one thing? And he says, so that the world would know who sent me. That there's power in oneness. There's power in us working together in our marriages and at workplace. And it hit me as I'm going through this that Satan wants the opposite. Satan wants the one thing that is the opposite of Jesus' final prayer. He wants to cause division and strife in the marriage, at work. Hey, listen, I travel all over the country and I speak to pastors and staff and companies, and there is strife amongst pastors and staff. Did you guys know that? There's strife there. And congregations and work and marriage. I almost look at it like this. Satan says this. I can't take your salvation. I can't take you from God, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm coming after your relationships. I'm coming after your marriage. I'm coming after your workplace. I'm coming after your home. I'm coming after your friends. I'm coming after your church staff so that I can cause so much hurt and anguish through divorces and abandonment and all those things that you're not going to be an effective soldier for Jesus Christ. That's his mission. And my problem with this is he's succeeding all across the country. Division. A lack of unity. And so I want to dive into a couple things here on how to become one and what does it mean for us. I've got a few thoughts here. There's three. I want to become one with my wife. I want to become one with my church and your church. I want you to become one with it. And I want to become one with my boss. I want you to become one with the workers that God put around you, the workers above you and the workers below you. There's power there. And let's start with the first one, spouse. Marriage is hard. How many of you know that marriage is hard? Just say it out loud. Marriage is hard. It's hard. And how many of you know this morning that we all come into this room with flaws? We all have issues, right? We all have habits. And so just look at the person next to you right now and say this to them. You're not perfect. Just tell them. Yep. Just tell them. It's a shocker. Yep. It's a shocker. I know. Some of you have just ruined your meal. You're pretty upset. Listen, my marriage isn't perfect, and my wife and I have had conflict, and we still do. And Satan wants to divide. And there's power in oneness and unity. And I'll never forget the day after we got married, I went over to Pam's condo to load up her furniture and move into our new home. Day after marriage, right? We just got hitched. And I pull into her place, and I load up her furniture into this trailer. And she comes up to me, and she puts her hands on my shoulders, and she looks right at me. She goes, now, Matt, when we go across town, drive slow. And she climbs in the trailer and puts her arms and hands on her furniture so none of it gets scratched. All righty then. So I'm driving across this very busy part of our city, and all of a sudden I saw a Taco Bell. And I got hungry for a taco. The problem is a light right there at that intersection turned yellow. Guys, yell out loud. What do you do when a light turns yellow? You? I gunned it. For about 12 seconds, I forgot she was even back there. So I whipped my truck to the left and to the right, and the trailer completely became disconnected, and it passes my truck with her in it. And I yelled out the window, Pam, hold on! And boom, that thing slammed right into Taco Bell. She gets out, and then I get out, and we exchanged words. And then I go in and get three tacos and a Mountain Dew, and I'm, what just happened? We just got unhitched. And I know there's conflict in marriage, and there's conflict in all of our marriages. And one of the things that we built is a method of helping couples. And this is sort of what just took our ministry coast to coast and beyond the country, is this method. If there's one thing I've learned in sitting down with thousands and thousands of lay people where there's division, not only in the workplace, but in the marriage. And when I started to train lay people how to help marriages, the number one thing they came at me with was, Matt, don't give me 500 pages of cognitive skills. Give us a method that works. And so through prayer and fasting, we came up with this baseball diamond. Let's talk about it for a second. We help couples round the bases with an issue, one issue, a singular issue, not 100, just one. We identify one. We created a diagnostic survey for couples and for companies, and it helps extract where the key issues are in a relationship. 180 questions, a couple hundred questions, and it tells me in this really nice report where all the conflict is with Pam and I. And we're going to get help with one issue at a time. How many of you know God is a God of order? He's a God of order. We want to face this in that manner. We go to second base. All we do is we confirm the details around the issue. What's happening? When? How often? To what degree? But third base is my favorite base. And so it's time to solve this, Matt and Pam. It's time to solve this issue in your marriage. And the key is that you're going to solve it, not the couple who's mentoring them. And as mentors, we don't go into lives of couples and micromanage them. We don't tell you what to do. I want to get you to learn how to solve your issues in a way that honors God, that honors each other, that's loving, and that's respectful. And so we get out of you, the one that's hurting, an articulate solution to the real felt hurt pain in your relationship. What is it? What is it that you need from your spouse on that one issue? What would you like them to do different? And you've got to be specific. And then we help you negotiate and come to agreement on both sides that moving forward, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. And then we high-five you because you just scored. You've resolved. You've solved your issue in a way that's effective, gives God honor, and the key is you did it, we didn't. And so we took this method. And then behind it, once they score, we bring in Scripture and we help them learn about what God has to say about that topic. And so we mediate. That's what we call, this is sort of another word for mediation. I've tried to help people become experts at mediation. Listen, when you become an expert at mediation, you can be used powerfully by the Lord in all kinds of conflict in your life. You want to help a couple? You want to help somebody where there's conflict? A family? Become good at being a peacemaker, as the Bible would call it. And that's what this is. It's a visual guide on peacemaking. And we've been taking this into family interventions, been taking this into the workplace, taking this into marriages. And it has them do the work. I'm not the expert. I'm not going to come in here and wave a wand and make all your problems go away. So we mediate. And then we teach. And the last piece that makes this so powerful is we then confront. And I don't mean abrasively. I mean we confront the heart. Often the issue behind the issue is the heart. The heart has grown hardened. The heart is broken. The heart has turned itself away from the Lord or away from your loved one. We need to get there. We need to get in there. So we want to confront the heart. One of the things that we ask couples to do around the fourth or fifth week, or companies or CEOs or leaders or staff, around the fourth or fifth week is let's now look at your heart. What's going on in you? What's happened to you? Who's hurt you? What wound is there? Let's face it. Let's deal with it. Let's forgive. Let's repent. Because as we all know, that's where healing is really found. Healing is on the other side of dealing with the heart. And so with these three things, we are finding miracles after miracles with thousands of mentors equipped all across the land, mediating, teaching, and confronting, and bringing unity back where brokenness lives, bringing and restoring marriages. Become one with your spouse. And so we do this a couple different ways as I train and I travel. I can train churches live, and there's other ways to train. And later this morning, if you want, you can go back at our table and see more about how we help churches, how we equip them, and how we train them. But let's move on to the next one. Become one with your church. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because this particular one is helping church staff and a church pastor and a group of elders, helping them create unity where there's division or maybe between the congregation. And if you're here and your church is having some conflict, this can also be another method where we take them around the bases. We round the bases with your leaders, your elders, and your church, your staff, and your congregation separately. And then the outcome is we pray that the Lord show up and give us a new vision, a new direction. And I don't have time to share all that's happened in that arena. But listen, Satan would love to take us out, wouldn't he? He would love to take out our pastors. He'd love to take out and wipe out our leaders. And so the lack of unity is to be treated at the utmost level of concern. So if that's you and you know of a church that needs help, that's what we can do. But let's move on to the last piece here. This is a fun one. This is a fun one. Become one with your boss. But before I even get into this, one time somebody said, "Hey, Matt, is there a deeper reason why you're so passionate about unity? Is there another reason why you're so passionate about bringing unity to the marriage and to the home and into the life of people?" And I said, "Absolutely, there is a deeper reason." A guy came to me years ago and he said, "My wife got pregnant at 14 years old. And we got married at the Justice of the Peace. And then all of a sudden, I went off to the military and I came back." He was gone for a few years in the military, came back. They had another child and their marriage fell apart. They found Christ. They started going to a church, but the marriage got worse. And he came home one night and his wife had her luggage packed. And she said, "I'm leaving you. Matter of fact, I've been seeing someone for 6 months, and I'm going with him." This guy was standing at a crossroad. And I teach about this crossroad all across the country, that there's one of two paths to choose when I'm betrayed. There's one of two. There's not more than two. There's two. One is this path of forgiveness, this path that is powerful, that leads to all kinds of unseen blessings. But the other path is where I see most people go. It's what I call the path of contempt. I'm going to hold you in contempt for what you've done. And I don't know how or why, but here's the path he took. He said to her, "You take however long you need with your lover, and I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to stand on this. And we'll see what happens. Because when I said I do, when I made a covenant with you, I meant it. And I've not been the best husband. And so you go. And I'll wait." And she left. And the days went on and the weeks went on. And about a year later, he gets a knock at his door and he opens it. And there she stood, tears running down her face, luggage in hand. "Would you forgive me? Would you take me back?" And he had this big grin and he did something she wasn't ready for. He said, "Yes." He grabbed her and brought her into his chest and he held her. He forgave her. And he loved her all the days of her life. They stayed married 60 years. They had four more sons after that had happened. And one of those four sons is me. My father had no idea that loving my mother while she was with her lover would yield my life. He didn't know the blessings. He didn't know the unborn sons that would come. He didn't know that I would leave a career and train thousands and thousands of people to give God glory and honor. He didn't know that in the last 30 years of their marriage that they were literally inseparable. So that's why. That's why it matters a lot to me. And your children matter to me. And their legacy. And the children's legacy beyond them. And this unity thing isn't just about you or your happiness or your marriage. It's about the calling God has on your life and the anointing that He wants to have on it and your children and their children and children you may not have yet. And that's why I think Jesus had this final prayer. Come on, guys, become one. Work through your grievances. Work through the differences. Work through the betrayals. Work through the wounds. Forgive. Hang on. Take this path. I'll be with you, God says. I'll be with you. And sometimes conflict shows up at work. And so what we do is the same process. We help leaders take employees around the bases. We help leaders value people under them almost more than they value themselves. There's this marriage in the workplace. It's a lot like marriage at home between leaders and non-leaders. A husband and wife relationship, very similar. And so we help them round the bases and confirm their employees' issues and their views. And then when it comes time to solving issues, we try to explain to leaders, don't be a silo of solution. Let your staff and everybody below you and above you and around you help you come up with wise decisions by many rather than just wise decisions by one. And what's going to happen is they're going to feel valued and they're going to feel important and their wisdom is going to be tapped into and you're still the leader and you still get to call the final shot, but rounding the bases helps you become one with them and build a bridge. So if you're interested in this, it's a very similar process. We went one step further and we built a three-day intensive where we take the whole company, just like a whole church staff, around the bases. We hone in on the top 30 threats to the business, the top 30, or the top 30 threats to a church staff. What's the threat? What are they? And then we're going to hone in, we're going to kind of value them and calculate. We're going to wean out the half of them. We're going to get down to the top 15, and then we're going to deal with them one at a time. And together, through the pastor, elders, deacons, leaders, and congregation, together in focus group, we're going to come up with solutions that everybody can buy into. And the same thing with the company. Why? Matt, why? Why is this so important? Well, because it's powerful when we become one. Because if you remember Jesus' final prayer, He says, when we become one, My Father's name will be glorified. That people would know Him. That people would know God because of the oneness in your marriage. The power. Someone's going to see your marriage and they're going to be like, I want that. Why is that couple, why do they endure so much? How do they get through that affair? Or they're going to see you at work and they're going to see the winsome attitude and spirit that we have. What is that person? What do they have? I want that. And Jesus says, oneness. Oneness is going to let people find out who God really is. So that's my prayer for us today. As I look closely at the Unity Foundation, I'm like, I'm preaching to the choir. That's their vision. That's what they've done successfully for years in this community. It very well could be why this community is doing so well. It's because they get it, they do it, they preach it, they model it, and they're passionate about it. I love that. And my heart is broken over and over as I close. Last week I had a challenge as a husband called me and said, my wife left me. I got 3 kids. And I immediately said, let's go have dinner. And I took them out to Applebee's. And it was me and a dad and a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old and a 16-year-old. And I sat there. And this is fresh and it's raw. And I sat there. And I was able to interview these boys and help them through this. But let me tell you, it hurts. They hate. They're full of hate right now. They're full of anger. The lack of unity and division wrecks lives. Wrecks hearts, causes hardness, causes all kinds of calluses. And outside of a miracle, I'm not quite sure what these boys' future looks like. They need a miracle. And I know somebody who provides them, and we're working on it. But if you're sitting here today, and you're looking at your marriage, or you're looking at your church, or you're looking at the workplace, and I'm praying that this message will ring in your heart, that you would dial 911 when division starts to slip in. And treat it for what it is. It's an emergency. Let's chase hard after reconciliation with our friends and our family. And maybe it's not a marriage. Maybe it's a father or mother that hurt you, that walked away from you, that betrayed you. Or maybe it's a brother, sister, or coworker. But listen, I work hard. I run hard after forgiveness. I chase after it. You hurt me, I'm going to take you out to dinner, and I'm going to forgive you, and it will be awkward, and we may not reconcile, but I need to forgive. I'm going to choose this path. My dad chose. That's the path I want to take. Because it keeps my heart soft and teachable and pliable. But when I choose this other path, hardness can come in. It insulates me from the Lord's voice. It insulates me from being a good husband. A hardened heart insulates me from being a good leader at work. A hardened heart insulates you from being a good mom or a good dad. And I look at the hardened heart as something to fear. I don't want it. I want to do what my dad did. Forgive. 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 And that's my prayer for you. I'm hoping that today would inspire you. If you want to know more, there's a couple things you can do. We handed out these little cards, write your name on it, and say, I want to know more about the marriage mentoring. Maybe some of you want to be a marriage mentor. I think the Unity Foundation has said to me that they have interest in training marriage mentors in this city that can use the baseball diamond and help save marriages and give God glory. And maybe some of you right now, that's that your heart beats for the broken marriage. If that's you, sign that card, let us know if you want to be a marriage mentor. Or maybe some of you are like, listen, there's things we need to do deeper. We need to go deep into some of the issues going on our staff or at church. And the same thing. Sign that card. Let us know. And at the back, we have samples and we have all kinds of stuff that can answer any questions. All right. Before I close, yell out any questions that you have about those two things, work and marriage, before I close. Any? 100%. 100%. It did.
Did you really go get tacos?
I did. You know the safety chains? I am. You know the safety chains? You don't need them. Yeah. Which one? Marriage? I go into churches, I train couples, it takes 7 hours to teach them how to use the baseball diamond effectively along with the Word of God. And then typically, I preach while I'm there. And I don't preach just to preach, I preach a sermon called How to Fix Your Spouse. Does anybody know of a spouse that needs fixed? We do. And Dr. Emerson and I are actually writing a book on it right now called How to Fix Your Spouse. We're co-authoring it. But at the end of my sermon, I share my mom and dad's story. I'm like, if you came here today and you think I got the perfect marriage, I don't. And if you come at me with Matt, you don't understand how hard it is. And you don't understand my spouse cheated on me. And I'm like, okay, well, I got a story for you. I know somebody who's been where you are. And had he not trusted in God, I wouldn't be here talking to you. And I recruit broken marriages to sign up to get help at the end of the sermon, at the end of the speech. And I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to share that story tonight to all those that come to our event tonight. And then I say this, if you're here and you need help, sign up. Help is on the way. And we train the healthy and we recruit the broken. I go into a city and I train the healthy and I recruit the broken, put them together, and then I move on. And recently we had 200 couples signed up to get marriage mentoring in one Sunday. That tells you the pain. I was speaking at a church up in Canada, in Toronto. And it was like a church of 6,000, and I wanted to have a little altar call at the end, and the pastor said, no, we don't do that here. No altar calls. I'm like, okay, I'll remove it. I won't ask for them to come forward. So I preached How to Fix Your Spouse, and then all of a sudden he said, go ahead and do it. We've never done it here before. And 2,500 people rushed to the altar. And it wasn't because things were good. And the pastor sat there and wept. He didn't know that his congregation in marriages was hurting to that level. He didn't know. And so that's what we do with the marriage side. The work side, we have a few options. We have 4-hour workshops for leaders. We have 2 of them. One is to deal with their leadership style, where we try to help them learn the new method of leadership with the baseball diamond. How do you lead in that way to value everybody under you? But then we go for another 4 hours into their personal life. I want a leader to look at his home life, his marriage life, what's going on at home, because that's deeply affecting you at work. And we created another 4-hour workshop for non-leaders, just anybody on staff, to look at their team building skills at work. And then another 4 hours where we dive into their personal life. And then we have a 3-day intensive where we take the CEO and the leaders through the round the bases as a company. And that's 3 days. It's intensive. We have a survey. We analyze. We get all the threats out of all the company staff. It's all anonymous. And it has to be anonymous, or we can't get truth out of people if they don't feel like it's a safe place. And then we filter through all their issues, and we come up with the top 15 threats to that company. Then we round the bases and score with the leaders, the CEO, with the top leaders in that company, and with some of the staff. And then when we're all done, they have a new vision, a new direction that they came up with, that they worked through. And the neat thing about it is when they do this, the staff likes it because they were part of it. They were part of the vision building. And so that's another deeper option. And so all that's back there in explanation and pricing if you have any interest in that. Back there on the table. I could, and I would be more than glad to, but I never have. I'll tell you one of the reasons I could do it here is because you've already plowed the field here for it to happen. You have no idea how amazing it is on what you've already done in this town. If I were to look at all the things you've done to get companies and employees open to the idea, I could go into 50 other cities where that doesn't exist. But because of the work you've already done, that might be a good idea. Or earlier we were talking this morning about training your chaplain on how to train mentors or be marriage mentors. But let me be clear. I'm not a fan of mentoring couples by myself. I need Pam. It's couple helping couple. You can't get that anywhere in the nation. You can't get couple helping couple. There's a dynamic there that you can't get anywhere else. And here's what it is. The woman, for 10 weeks, focuses on the woman. And the man focuses on the man. And here's why. Because there's a gender barrier that exists. Let me prove my point. Men, raise your hand in the room if this is true. How many of you would rather be confronted, rather be challenged, rather be pushed, stretched, or really pushed hard? You'd rather that happen from a man than a woman. Just raise your hand right now if that's you. Keep it up. Look around, ladies. That's what I call a gender barrier. Men respond better to men. Women, same thing. Although I did have one woman go, "We don't like to be confronted by anybody." She said it. So the way we do it is for 10 weeks, I sit across from the man. I respect him. I love him. I get to know him. I work my way in deeper, deeper, deeper. I don't confront. I don't overload him. But somewhere in the 4th and 5th week, I'm going to get to his heart. Pam does the same thing with his wife. And the second reason why that's powerful is I don't want to have emotional ties to a woman. I don't. I don't want Pam to have emotional ties to a man in the work of counseling or helping. So it's couple helping couple. It's effective and it protects. And so if you're interested in this, to me, that's a requirement. Couple helping couple. Any other questions? I do. I had an intervention recently where a family had conflict, a blended family. We brought the baseball diamond in. That's all we did. Just brought it. This is how it works. I sat down with 5 sons. They're all adults. They're all grown. They all have jobs. They all were married with kids. For some reason, they were so angry at their dad and stepmom, who happened to be my mother-in-law. Yeah, this is going to be fun. How's this going to work? So they brought Pam and I in, and we don't know what's going on. I never go in perceiving or thinking that I already know what the issue is, and I got the solution. No, I don't. God does. I don't. Not yet. So we brought in the baseball diamond, and I said to all these boys and their wives, because I asked them all to come together, and the tension in the room was thick. And I said, let's start with you. Let's identify, first base, what's going on? We thought their issue was with my mother-in-law and our side of the family, but it wasn't. Here's what they said. Dad, in all of our life, you've never said you love us once. These men were crying, these huge men, very large men. They were weeping. Dad, you've never said you loved us. And every weekend you drive right by our homes and you go to all of her kids' grandkids' games and soccer games and hockey games, but you never come to our kids' game. And it hurts. So we went to second base, kind of validated, went to third base. What's the solution? And they agreed together that Dad would start going to their games, and Dad gets up and he goes over and he hugs his son, and they just started to weep, and forgiveness entered in. We're just watching this happen. We're mediating. And then we kind of went back and forth with some of his grievances, and all of a sudden at the end they're all forgiving, they're all repenting. And another one was when their mom died, he said, I don't want to talk about it. And they were never allowed to grieve. He said, don't even mention it. And within 3 months, he married this woman. He married his now wife. So they brought that up. And here was their plan, their solution. In 2 weeks, we're all going to go to the grave, and we're going to have another ceremony for Mom. She's been dead for 18 years. But we're going to go together, all the sons, 5 sons and Dad, and we're going to cry together over the loss of our mom because we were never allowed to grieve. And this reconciliation happened. And the next morning, their dad died. God took him. And I went to the hospital, and I'm with all these 5 sons, and they all came up to me, and they're like, thank you. We were able to close the deal. We were able to let go. We were able to forgive. We were able to restore with our Father. We heard Him say, I love you, son. I love you. The night before He dies. See, God wants to use you to create unity where there's division. And you can. You can. And the baseball diamond is nothing but a vehicle to help us get there. That's all it is. It's not magical. It's a method. Lay people are frightened to get into other people's messes. And so the method gives them a sense of direction. And I keep telling them, God will be with you. God will be with you. But you got to have courage. Whether it's in marriage, workplace, church, doesn't matter. You got to have courage. But here's a framework that we built, and the Holy Spirit will be with you. Any more questions? All right. Thank you so much, not only for today, but for tonight. And listen, pray for tonight, will you? The title is Never Stop Laughing. We're going to talk about marriage. It's going to be fun. But listen, is marriage always fun? No. There will be a lot of people that come tonight that we don't even know this, but they could be hanging by a thread. So pray for them. Pray that God's voice works through tonight. And pray that hope might find some of them. And I pray that some of you and some of the churches in this area say, listen, we want to be the 911. We want to be the hospital for the broken marriages in this city. Matt, we're interested in training up a team so we can offer this kind of hope. Pray for that too. Pray for that. Let me close. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you. I'm humbled, Lord, that I'm even allowed to be here. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. But I lift before you the needs in this room and the needs in this town and the needs in all the couples that come tonight. Father, you know what they are. And Father, that final prayer that you had for those disciples, we take it serious. And we pray against evil in this town. We pray against the evil one, that he would take his hands off that which you have sanctified. We lay this at the foot of your cross, but we have one final promise, God, that every single great thing that happens because of this, we give you the glory. We take none. Bless the Unity Foundation for their hands. Bless them for their hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a good day, guys.
7 o'clock tonight is the event. So spread the word. We still got some room. Have a great day.
I'll be at the back if you've got questions or want to see our material.